Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Lynn Andrews, and we will be talking about her newly re-released deck, The Power Deck. Returning after being nearly 30 years out of print, The Power Deck, The Cards of Wisdom, the classic oracular desktop card deck, is being released once again to the delight of Lynn V. Andrews fans. Featuring 45 beautifully illustrated cards and its accompanying book of affirmations and meditations, the Power Deck represents the wisdom of the universe as it has been revealed through the Sisterhood of the Shields, a private and anonymous gathering of high-degree shaman women from native cultures around the world. Updated to reflect the needs of today, the Power Deck includes new ceremonies and sacred visions to truly encompass the experiences of the modern world. Lynn V. Andrews has studied with shamanic women on four continents for more than 30 years. She shares her ancient teachings in her more than 20 books, including the Medicine Women series, which includes New York Times bestsellers Medicine Woman and Jaguar Woman. You can find out more about all Lynn has to offer by visiting her website, which is lynnandrews.com, and that's lynnandrews.com. So with that, I'd like to welcome Lynn to the show. Good day, Lynn.
Well, hi, Robert. Thank you so much for having me on.
It is my pleasure. Boy, I have known about you for so many years, and it's truly a delight to get the chance to speak with you today.
Well, it's a delight for me, too. And I wanted to mention the Power Deck is one of those wonderful creations, thank heaven, that has never been out of print. In all of these years, it's been published around the world. And Beyond Words decided that they would purchase it from Putnam and put it out in a little different format. Cards are larger. They're a wonderful consistency. They feel so good. And the pictures are bigger. The face of each card, the painter, Rob Shouten, has painted magnificent paintings that the cards earlier were smaller. And now that they're bigger, you can really see the paintings in a very exciting way. So anyway, I am excited.
The messages are universal and eternal. So it is, it's not a surprise that, it's back out there, and I do have to admit those cards are, the larger part. I mean, the fact that they're larger, and that you can see more into the picture. I mean, for many people who use Oracle decks, a lot of the inspiration that they get to convey to either themselves or if they're doing it for someone else is contained in the pictures. And it's so much easier. Now that they're bigger, there's a lot better chance of getting more information and with better clarity.
Yeah, it's interesting. I always wanted them to be bigger, but when HarperCollins originally published it, they didn't realize how popular they were going to be, I guess. Anyway, they made it a smaller deck. It's still beautiful, but it was just a kind of a different point of view.
Yeah, the one thing, you know, with the new publisher is I've gotten several of their products, and to them, you know, quality of product seems to be high on the list, because you know, it's every single time I've gotten something, the packaging, the cards, the book, everything has just been top quality, and that's, you know, that says a lot. They know that then it'll last a lot longer for the purchaser.
Yeah, you know, I am so fortunate as an author to have two Oracle decks out at the same time almost. They also did Sacred Vision Oracle cards for me about 6 or 8 months ago, which is a very Native American deck. Did they send that to you by any chance?
I did not get that one yet. So
yeah, you got to get that one. Oh,
I'll let
Robert,
them know about
just
that.
Yeah, it's just very different. You know, I when I did the first Power deck, I wanted to do a deck that was graceful and beautiful and inspired you into different aspects of dreaming and healing. And, you know, before you can heal someone else, you've got to learn to heal yourself. And it's a huge process of increasing your awareness. So the Power deck was a teaching deck in that way. And, you know, you might card for the day, which is something I always do. And I ask the people who work with me or study with me. And it's interesting, I drew a card for you and I speaking today, and it's the humor card. And it's just such a fabulous painting of this African kind of native African ceremonial looking gentleman standing in front of a very modern skyscraper, and they're standing in the grass and holding an umbrella that has signs underneath the umbrella, the vortexes of energy, and the card is actually called Humor. And, you know, basically the teachings, Robert, I'm sure you have seen this, that the teachings correspond to the painting. So on the back, it says humor, fear, and anger awaken the power of your will in juxtaposition of realities, as in the primitive positioned in the wilderness of an urban setting, find truth. See how you have chosen your illusions, as have others, and seek to feel the laughter that holds together your daily dream. Self-importance blinds you to the source of joy and humor. Awaken the power of your will and find your laughter wholeheartedly. Awaken your sense of humor. So in other words,
you know,
don't take yourself quite so seriously.
You don't know how many times people have told me that. but I,
yeah,
but I truly am, you know, usually lighthearted, so.
Yeah. Where are you right now? What part of the country?
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, for heaven's sake. It's supposed to be so beautiful there. I've never been there.
It's pretty. It's pretty. Yeah. Now, on that humor card, I love the image of the person holding the umbrella with the galaxies inside the umbrella. I mean, it's
yeah. Is that interesting?
It's kind of like a portal.
Definitely. And there's 3 or 4 of them there, I believe.
Yep, that's beautiful. Well, interestingly enough, I also pulled a card for today's show. I thought, you know, let me see. Now,
yeah.
I pulled one, and then I got what you call a dancing card. So, and you can tell listeners about that. But the first one, what I pulled was creativity. And then the one that was dancing was 40, number 40.
Uh-huh.
And which is an absolutely awesome, awesome image. But the one that was also dancing that kind of had to be seen was wisdom. And I thought, well, I know who that's talking about, Lynn. That's that's what that's talking about.
Oh, golly. So, and what number is the wisdom
that
card?
Was 32. That was 32.
32. Just interesting. This is a new deck to me. And the wonderful thing that we did with this is it's also in the directions. So when you pick a card, it will have gold for the east, white for spirit, black for the west, and red for the south. And those, that all means something in the world of healing. And so, you picked the card of courage, right?
Creativity, number 40.
Oh, creativity was 40. Yes, the first
one. Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah, your creativity is a story that needs a voice in the world, a way to be heard. And it has moved into your spirit lodge. Creativity is part of your future life. People think that creativity is outside of them, like truth or power. But it inhabits you like your own life force, and it animates your being, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that was a perfect card for to represent today's chat, since we are communicating to the world right now.
Yeah, well, defining your own creativity and living that creativity. You know, it's interesting. I find, and I'm sure you do too, Robert, that when you say, I say to someone that I'm working with, you know, what is your dream in life? You know, what is it that you want to accomplish in this lifetime? Why do you think you're alive? And so often, people just kind of look at me and, you know, they often say, gee, I'm not really sure what my dream is. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, I always wanted to be a doctor and I am a doctor. And now I think I don't want to be a doctor, so now I don't know what my dream is. And people need sometimes to reinvent themselves, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, as a matter of fact, you know, my earlier career was in corporate world. I was a corporate trainer in the banking industry, then for a while in the restaurant industry. And so about 25 years ago, I kind of, through downsizings, just kind of did the entrepreneurial way. And then about 8 years ago, I decided to do the radio show. I had helped people in the promotion of radio. I was more background and never wanted to host a show because I occasionally heard myself on the radio and I did not like the sound of my voice. So I thought, if I don't like what I hear, how am I going to expect other people to, you know, to like that? And,
you know, I love the sound of your voice. I think it's grand.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, you know, I basically kind of hemmed and hawed until I got that nudge that said, just get out of your way, just do it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, fine. And it's been going on for 8 years. And you know, the beauty is that it's truly been a you know, a blessing in being able to talk to so many people and learn about so many strong and resilient kinds of journeys that people have traveled and to be able to share that. And so now it became my purpose. And when I decided to start the show, most of the people knew me by Bob. You know, and then I thought, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of have everything. And at that time, I had certain people who knew me as Bob would call me Robert. And it was fine. I don't mind being called Rob, Bob, you know. But what I noticed was is that the people who called me Robert would always be the people that would ask me those very philosophical kinds of questions, really wanting to know what I thought about X, Y, and Z. And so I thought, well, you know, they seem to be appealing to a different facet of me. So I was going to go ahead and start my show. And you know, basically, Robert is the way that I, you know, present myself. And, I go by Bob and Rob sometimes, depending on the guest, but it doesn't matter. But that the whole idea was to, you know, come from that higher place. And now, 8 years later, I can say that more people worldwide know me as Robert than Bob, and I would say by thousands more, you know. And so that was, to me, that was a complete reinvention that, you know, had an interesting purpose. But so whenever anybody says to me that, you know, I can't do that, or how can I do that, you know, I just relate to them my story and say, listen, you know, you can go far beyond simply by, you know, presenting yourself, you know, your higher self, or what it is that you want to impart to people.
Absolutely. I think that's really quite wonderful. You know, I've written 21 books, and so I've been on book tour many, many times in my life, almost with every book, and I would go all over the world, and I would, I started working with people, doing a kind of healing of the mind and the heart, along with, as it collaborated with the book that I had written, and it was a fascinating journey, and one of the things that I found really quite all over the world is that people come out of abuse so often. And, you know, abuse is relative, you know, nobody being home when you get home from school, if you're, you know, 7 years old, could be abuse to one person and freedom mm-hmm. to another. Right. And so I started working with that, and I realized that to realize your dream, why you're here, what it is you really want to accomplish, is a very difficult thing. If you've been abused, you don't know what your dream is, most likely. You've been living somebody else's dream to stay out of trouble, to keep from being hit. Do you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, they kind of float around, and they're not fulfilled. They don't have enough food for their soul. And so to begin working with someone on abuse from early childhood, it's a tremendous undertaking, not only for the person, but for the teacher. So I began to realize that I needed to have a mystery school of a sort, and teach the things that I have learned from working with women of power all over the world, and shaman women for the most part, native women for the most part. And I started writing the curriculum for a school. And I thought, oh, well, I'll write a year, and that should be enough. Well, I got to the end of writing a year of curriculum, and it was all about energy and choreographing the energies in the universe and how we are a thought form and how we create that. And that was just the beginning of the school. And I ended up writing 4 years of a school without walls, so that people mm-hmm. could do the school from anywhere, Robert. They could be, you know, in Africa, in Egypt, right. in South America, anywhere. And the teachings were there. I would send them notebooks as we went along. They have mentors to work with them that have graduated from my school. and are women of high degree as well. And we created this fabulous mystery school, and it has helped people all over the world. And one of the main things is that anything you're carrying along with you, the baggage that we all seem to collect, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally, you know, teach them how do you get rid of that? I mean, how do you approach yourself in a way that you can become free? And you don't just do an affirmation and think, oh, well, that's what I really want to do, but you don't do anything about it. It's like becoming a lawyer. You've got to learn how to become a lawyer or to become a healer or a shaman apprentice, etc. So I have found that the card deck, the power deck, or the oracle deck, either one of them, are teaching cards. You know, when I, they're written with truly a higher awareness and consciousness in mind, as are the paintings, so that when you pick up a card, you see this beautiful painting, and it's surreal in many aspects. One reality kind of imposed on another reality, and it, wow, you keep looking for these little things that are in the background. And then you turn the card over and you read, say, the creativity card, and you read something that corresponds with the painting. Mm-hmm. And if you read it out loud, you have sharpened all of your senses and asked your senses and yourself to find a different point of view for the day. And when you go out into the world with a different shifted point of view that came to you through consciousness, a higher awareness, it changes you. It changes you in a wonderful, beautiful way, and it gives you courage, and it gives you action, in a sense. Do you see what I mean, Robert?
Yes, yes. And one of the things, I mean, in addition to stimulating that that visual and then that consciousness, you know, connection, you basically kind of get your brain set in motion for that throughout your day, so that if you should happen to catch an image, just, you know, out of the maybe the you know, side of your eye, or just maybe off in the distance, if you should happen to catch that, and then there is a message, you know, that kind of pops in, you know, from your consciousness. You know, it's one of those things that I feel that it, what it does is it demonstrates that every day, throughout the day, you know, there are things that we can see, feel, hear, and touch that, you know, want us to be here in the now and to raise our awareness. And we just simply need to give it attention to have that happen.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You mention attention. In shamanism, again, a definition of shamanism to me is learning to choreograph the energies in the universe, in your universe. And that just went right out of my mind. I interrupted myself. What were you talking about?
Well, the attention. We were talking about attention and.
Oh, attention.
You know,
right.
Right.
Yeah. In shamanism, we have first, second, and third attention. And attention, to feel loved, you must have the attention of the person you love. If you want someone to feel love or loved, you need to give them attention. And it's the same way with a higher consciousness of any kind. You need to make a place within yourself for power to live. Power meaning your ability to actually manifest your dream, actually manifest your life as you wish it to be. You know, we are a thought form. We are a field, a frequency of energy. If we could just learn that one thing, this world would be a paradise. When you take that consciousness and make it an idea that you, quote unquote, believe in, then all of a sudden you put a fence around your consciousness. In other words, if you believe in a religion a certain way, you can't step beyond the boundaries of that religion. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I understand that the a belief kind of puts a frame around your perspective. So now, does shamanism work toward eliminating those barriers or minimizing those barriers?
Shamanism really is moving into the stillness of your own soul to find freedom. It's about freedom, and it's about sacred freedom, meaning that you understand the magical, magnificent possibilities that, first of all, your own body is. It's a miracle, this body of ours, and we mistreat it so terribly. You know, we tell it, so you get up in the morning and you think, oh, I look awful. Oh, my God, I hate my hair. Oh, my God, I've got freckles. Oh, I hate the way I look. And your body reacts to that. Your body is a form that you've created, and all of a sudden you're telling it that it's not doing a good job. I mean, it really is as simple as that. And your body reacts to that. And maybe you don't understand that or feel that. You're not cognizant of that, maybe. But it is the truth. And so to change that would be to understand how important it is to feel positive. There's so much out there about be positive, act positive, and it's true how wonderful that is. However, you've got to find the reason that what's held you back from that all of these years. What's held you back from feeling good about yourself? You know, those are the things you have to find and heal. You need to heal those little things so that all of a sudden the world becomes very spacious. Suddenly everything opens up wide and you see beautiful light. You see the beauty of things rather than dwelling on the shadows. Have I gotten too abstract here?
No. As a matter of fact, you know, what I was going to say was is that, you know, it's, you know, for people who, you know, try to make the change, you know, through an affirmation or, you know, a positive thinking and don't see the results, you know, as you were talking about that, to me, it just, the vision I got is that the affirmations and the positive thinking are like a Band-Aid, but it doesn't get to the root of the sore, you know, that you kind of need to take care of the, you know, the disease, you know, and then also have that Band-Aid to make sure, you know, the infection doesn't continue.
You have to totally understand that before you can shift it.
Yeah.
And that's what...
Yeah, Absolutely. Well, Lynn, we're about halfway through the show, Lynn. I want to take just a quick 90-second break, and then when we come back, we've been talking about shamanism. So I would like to find out from you, how has your work with shamanism influenced your life, or what are some of the the manifestation that has had in your life? Okay.
Sure.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And just a quick reminder, in addition to Blog Talk Radio, our show can be heard for free through iTunes, the iHeartRadio syndication, and also on TuneIn. And links to all of those platforms is on our homepage. And again, as I mentioned in the commercial spot, I really do appreciate you supporting our guest. And again, today's guest is Lynn V. Andrews. She is author of 21 books, also the Power Deck, the Cards of Wisdom, which we're talking about today, being reintroduced. And you can go to her website, lynnandrews.com, and there you can find out so much about what she has to offer, how to study with Lynn, the Mystery School. Her online store has books, CDs, meditations. There's just so much to explore there, so be sure to check that out. Okay, so that we're back, Lynn.
Yes, and you mentioned my store. Anybody who is listening today, and would like one of my MP3s, go to my store and tell them that you were listening to this show, and they will send you one for free. And
I'd just
like to say that.
That's great. I appreciate that. And I'll be sure to let the listeners know, because 98% of, if not 99% of the listens come from, iTunes and the other downloads. So a lot of times people won't be listening live, but, the thousands that do, come through that way. So I'll be sure to also put that in the show page description for them to let them know about that. So thank you for that offer.
Oh, you're so welcome. I just would love to share everything I have with everybody. I think at this period of human history, I do think we were all born at this time for a reason, although that reason seems to get scrambled every other day. But I think it's really an important time for everybody, because in a sense, it's about mastery, isn't it? I mean, our life, our experiences. Why do we keep learning? We keep learning so that we can find love and power. So that you learn that you hold power, perhaps, but with a very open hand, so that it's given to everyone, and that it's a kind of mastery, I think, that we are looking for, and oftentimes can't find it. You know, I can't really offer a precise definition of that, but I believe that ethics is related to the development of the soul.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're developing our soul.
And mastery really frames it in a way to recognize that there's really never perfection, but it's a constant state of refining. You know, and making better choices today than I did yesterday, and then setting myself up for better choices tomorrow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And choices, and then how are your choices made? If you have truly come out of abuse, you're looking through a veil, and you will never see things clearly. Until you pull that veil away and begin to see who you truly are. And somebody listening may say, well, that just sounds great. How do I do that? And
yeah.
I have been working all my life to answer that question for people, for myself. And it's an understanding of the deepest questions in your life. For instance, are you afraid of death and why? How do you work with your intent? Is it strong and focused? What makes you afraid? You know, what are you really afraid of? And to me, in a sense, the one thing that we're afraid of, really, the only thing we're afraid of is death. If you take something all the way down to its source.
Hmm.
So you want to learn how to strengthen your intent, and that enables you to wipe away your fears. How do you do that? Well, that's what I was looking at when I would go on book tour. I thought, gee, yeah, I've got an hour sitting talking to someone. How can I trigger their curiosity enough so they want to delve into this magnificent, magical issue called self-awareness? You know, how, you know, a lot of people today aren't curious, I find. And they're not grateful. They're kind of entitled in some strange way. You know, I certainly didn't grow up with that. That's something new, excuse me, with people, younger people today. And how do you flame that fire, that little spark inside of absolutely everyone that has ever been born? We would like to know why we're alive.
Yes. You
Don't
know,
you
and,
think?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that inquisitive nature really has been quashed, you know, in today's environment with, you know, being spoon-fed information or having at our fingertips, you know, the ability to find out answers to questions where, you know, before it would have taken, you know, a trip to the library or, you know, actually talking to someone who lived through, you know, war or something like that, you know. But it's one of those things where I agree, you know, today's the younger generation, you know, does have that sense of entitlement and you know, that gratitude seems to be a very strong force in being able to make that connection to source, you know, and you know, not having that is really, I think, is part of the reason that many young people feel isolated.
Do you think they feel isolated?
I do. I mean, you know, right now, you know, they're, I mean, the I've read, you know, statistics about you know, teenage suicide and how prevalent it is and how much on the increase it is, and the fact that even though social media provides quote connections, it doesn't have the depth that an in-person contact has. So, I mean, even though you may get a lot of likes on your post or your Instagram, it does really nothing for strengthening that quality of connection.
No, and that's true. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I feel that people have a relationship with technocracy, you know, it's kind of cybernetic meadows sort of, you know, all around us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you're kind of walking through this meadow, this field.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Now, yeah. So with when did you first get involved with shamanic practices? How did that spark appear in you?
Well, you know, I've had quite an interesting life in that regard. My parents were both extraordinary people. My dad was an offshoot of the Nobel family and educated, highly educated. And my mother also was. Unfortunately, they got a divorce, and I was an only child, and I always had the ability to see lights around people. I could see if someone had a dis-ease of some kind, and it wasn't until much later, I mean, 6 years old, I was riding to school on my pony with my Native American best friend, and I could see that she had been hurt horribly that morning. I had been really beaten up. And her father was an alcoholic, kind of a notorious alcoholic. And so I mentioned to her, oh, Bev, I'm so sorry. I can see that you're really hurting. And I had never told her or anybody else, actually, about the fact that I could see lights around them. I just thought everybody saw that. Well, guess what? They don't. And my girlfriend was so horrified that I could see into her. She felt invaded somehow. And I, just like a light, tried to turn off what I could see for many, many years. And anyway, I went in search of a teacher and so forth. Later on, I lived in Beverly Hills. And got married there, someone in the film business, and we made films, and we had, you know, kind of an extraordinarily wonderful life, and raced cars, and, you know, had a beautiful house, and I had my daughter, and it all seemed absolutely idyllic, and it was in many ways, except that there were certain qualities that between my husband and I that weren't working, and I, quite honestly, I've got to admit, I was one of those women or people that was in search of, I was in search of my spiritual truth, and I couldn't find it. I could see these lights and things in people more and more, and I wanted to know what that meant. And finally, I found my teachers, to make a very long story short, the Sisterhood of the Shields, and these two women, Agnes Whistling Elk and Ruby Plenty Chiefs, and these two women, a Native American from actually Northern Canada at that time, and they became my teachers. I write about this incredible journey in Medicine Woman and Spirit Woman, Jaguar Woman. And Jaguar Woman was up for the Pulitzer, by the way, and just...
Wow.
Being up for the Pulitzer made me extraordinarily grateful and excited. But there's stories, you know.
As it should.
There's stories about Yeah, exactly. My books are stories. They're stories about my life with extraordinary women of high degree out in the wilderness, in the outback of Australia and South America or England or Japan and all over the world. And I have written about my experiences with these women as they were teaching me. I thought that if I could write about my teaching, if I could learn, anybody could learn. I came from such a different world. Beverly Hills, and, you know, yes, I had Native American friends, and I was very interested in the Native American art, and I read and studied all my life. But my life was vastly different. And I'm mentioning that because I think it's important for people to hear that you can be in a certain way of living, and you can suddenly find the courage to step out of that into an unknown world that maybe is totally foreign to you. And you can make it, you can go along, and you can find your truth in that regard.
Yeah.
On the unknown card, I want to just read you something really quickly. The painting is of a desert man sitting, looking at the pyramids in Egypt. We are all pilgrims on the path to the unknown. We sit in awe and wonder at the architecture of power. Ripen the receptive void within you, like a womb accepting a seed. Open yourself to the unknowable, to what is unfamiliar to you, so that the energy of what you need in order to be whole can flow into you. When you think of yourself as an entity separate from power, you will obstruct the current and power will defeat you. Identify the form of power that you want, what you want to accomplish, build, create, or be, and become that, so that there is no separating you from this power, from love.
Mm.
And I think
that unknown, that self. The self card is the only one that is non-directional, in a sense. It's just
that's right.
The beginning,
it's the
so to speak.
It's the center.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, when you're doing the four directions, you've got north, south, east, and west, and then in the center, that's where you're coming from. In other words, you're sitting in the center of the wheel, and you begin by looking at the south and west, north, and then the east. To discover what, you know, the south, the red cards are, you know, how you manifest in the world, your physical life. In the west, which is a black card, is the sacred dream. It's about death and rebirth. It's about how you find yourself in the world, in the great mystery. And then the north is spirit, and that's how the prime mover in the universe, whoever that is for you, God, goddess, etc., how the great spirit gives you inspiration. And then in the east is mind, and your reasoning, your ability to sit and say, okay, I would love to be a ballet dancer. But oh golly, I'm 90 years old. Maybe I should teach dancing instead of trying to be a ballet dancer. In other words, it is out of the realm of reason that you could be a ballet dancer at the age of 90, most likely.
Yeah.
So the East is kind of the sacred clown lives in the East. The sacred clown that tests all of the existing institutions, realities in life to see if they're real or not, if they're really valid. It's your reasoning. Do you see? And
yeah,
then
yeah.
In the center is you. And really that wheel is a fantastic paradigm for thought, for how to organize your thought with any problem. You want to take a different job. Well, set in the center of that wheel and look at the different directions. Does it make sense physically? Is this what you want for your dream? Spiritually, does it work? Mentally, in the East, does it make sense? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's really
yeah,
pretty
absolutely.
Simple.
Yeah. Now, in your deck, you also talk about the Power Deck Journal and kind of writing down. So can you talk about, you know, the purpose of that and why it's a good thing to journal your progress, I guess, you know, as you go through the day-to-day with the cards?
Well, the I like have always been taught that it is enormously helpful to yourself to just write down, even if it's just bullet thoughts, about what happened that day, and more about how you feel, more than, you know, oh, I went and took the garbage out. How
mm-hmm.
you felt about doing that. This demeans me. Why do I have to take out the garbage? You know, people have different feelings about things, but feeling creates your reality.
Mm-hmm.
So how you feel is something that is wonderful to write about every day because it changes so. And you go back to the beginning, or you go back to January 8th, a year ago. Oh, my God, look what you were going through. It's so different from now,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, really, hopefully. But it is a good way, and you're right, you know, as far as feelings. I mean, feelings are, to me, it seems that emotions and feelings are the motivating factor of life. You know, you don't do something unless you feel motivated to do that, or your motivation is not to do, but the idea is motivation and feelings are behind everything that we do.
Well, it's interesting. There's a difference, don't you think, between emotion and feeling? Can you tell me the difference?
Now I don't know. My guess would be that feeling is more of a, I guess it's more of an internal, an internal state versus emotions being demonstrated outwardly. That's just my guess. So,
and so
tell me.
No, that's just interesting. I didn't mean to throw you a curve.
No. I like to be tested. That's fine. You know, I like to learn. So.
Yeah, and as do I. I think emotions and feelings are very different. I think emotion is something that can destroy your life. Emotions, if they are not understood, and then disciplined, you know, with your own discipline, you know, there are a lot of negative emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And love, if you take love and become obsessed with love and become, say, a stalker or something, it's a desperately negative thing to do to yourself. And you have to understand why, and you have to quit doing that, discipline that. I'm taking an extreme, but I think when you have an emotion, it's a physical thing. It's emotional. It's part of your DNA. And incidentally, I'm taking everybody on a trip down the Danube in Eastern Europe from Prague to all the way down through Salzburg and Vienna and anyway, in July this year. I'll just throw that out there because I'd love all of you to come with us. It's going to be an interesting kind of discussion of DNA and genetics, because I think all of us have come through, all of our ancestors have come through that part of the world, most likely. But feeling is how you feel about something. And, oh, you know, I have a feeling of fear of going out as an astronaut. What is that fear about? That's very different than having an emotion. Oh, I'm afraid, you know, there's a noise outside, and it created emotion of fear. You think it might be somebody that might hurt you or something. You see the difference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do. I do see that. And
maybe those are horrible examples.
Well, no, no, but you know, but it's, you know, it's one of those cases where, you know, we really kind of should lean into our feelings, you know, and not be afraid, not avoid feeling, and not avoid any of the sometimes heartache, you know, that comes from feeling, you know, that it's just a real important of living, important part of living.
Yeah, there's a difference between the emotion and the feeling. And there's, it's very, very, gosh, it's so hard to define. It's almost,
yeah,
as shamans call it, part of the unknowable. It's like love. If you try to describe what love is, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can only describe the effect of love. So you have an emotion that comes up within you out of nowhere. And that emotion, you can't really tell anybody what that emotion is, but you can tell people how it makes you feel.
Feel, yeah. Absolutely.
You see?
Well, Lynn, we are down to the last couple minutes of the show. I mean, this has just flown by, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, I did notice on your website, under events, you have that Danube cruise, or the Danube trip,
yes,
coming up in July.
Uh-huh.
So people can go to your website under events and check that out and join you there. And you've really got lots of other information all about your books, CDs, and there's just so much there.
And I would love to invite you to... Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, go ahead. I'd like the invitation.
I was just going to say that I would love to invite you. I'm giving a big open event at the end of July up in Prescott, Arizona, up in the mountains, where it's very beautiful and cool at that time of year. And I would love to invite you all. We're going to do a lot of ceremony, a lot of teaching. It's a place in Prescott called Chapel Rock, and you can stay there. And we have three meals a day, and it's quite beautiful and a bit on the rustic side, but certainly very, very comfortable. And I will be doing a 3.5-day event there. And
wow,
you stay there. The food is wonderful, and we will be doing a sacred fire. And, you know, it's very hard to find a place where you can do a sacred fire these days because of fire control, you know, very good reasons. But we do a big fire on Saturday night, and we have usually made something beautiful, something, it could be a shield, it could be a process of mirrors or medicine bundles or who knows. And we present them to the fire as a blessing. And the fire is constructed out of juniper that has been raised in a sacred way. And we create the purple smoke that brings messages, takes messages to spirit, and also gives spirit a chance to speak to us. all of us who are sitting around the fire. So wow. I just thought I would put that out there because you can see that on my website as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you. That's great. That sounds like a very powerful time, and definitely everyone as well as I will go and check that out. Well, thank you, Lynn, for your time today. I truly, thoroughly enjoyed our conversation and look forward to following your journey.
Okay, Robert, it's so wonderful to be on, and thank you for all that you do for us. I appreciate it so much. And namaste to you.
Namaste. Thank you. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Lynn V. Andrews, and we've been talking about her newly reintroduced The Power Deck, The Cards of Wisdom. Again, you can find out all about what Lynn has to offer by visiting her website, which is lynnandrews.com. That's lynnandrews.com. And everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.